These audio adventures are supported by writers, narrators, and listeners like you. Without your help, these stories can't be produced. If these stories feed your imagination, please consider helping me, Joshua David Ling, feed my family by visiting joshuadavidling.com/support and becoming a monthly contributor. Or you can tip me on Cash App, $JoshuaDavidLing. If you'd like to have your audiobook or audio play featured here on Audio Adventures, get in contact with me at joshuadavidling.com. Today's episode is sponsored by the following.
Christians, who are artists, artisans, and creators, are a unique unit in the war on culture. They're often over and underestimated at the same time. What does it take to be an artist, and what does it take to win the culture war? Join Joshua David Ling as he rallies the troops to answer these questions and promote the best artists for God's glory. We're in this war together. Join us at the front at joshuadavidling.com/poetsatwar.
In a world where superhero activity is run by giant corporations, one man and his team of misfits seek to rise up the corporate ladder together. Expect a ridiculous superhero comedy. This is Shape. And now, Shape, Episode 1, Paper Pusher No More. It was a Tuesday on a week that would seem normal to most. A buff-looking, middle-aged hunk of a man walked down the street so proud he could boast. His swaggering steps echoed his smile, and the sharp blazer he wore, he strolled right up to his two-bedroom home and nearly ripped off the door.
"Dana, I'm home!" the man exclaimed, his mountain of a chin in the air. "And I've got news from the board of directors!"
"What do you have to share?"
A 14-year-old girl with long blonde hair began her descent down their stairs.
"Did you get in trouble for using the copier to research its effects on your underwear?"
"No, but that sounds like a swell idea. What I've got, though, is 10 times more sweet."
"Did you finally get me realistic prosthetics for my gigantic feet?"
Dana pointed down to her immense robotic legs, which helped stabilize her cyborg form.
"I've been dealing with these gigantic feet since the day I was born."
When Dana was being taken home from the hospital, her family wrecked in a car. She lost her mother and father there, so her uncle took care of her. They patched her up with cyborg parts that would grow with her as she aged. David frowned and simply said,
"That isn't it, I'm afraid."
"But I've finally been promoted, dear Dana. I'm going to be the leader of a team. Instead of a paper pusher in the office, pinch me, it feels like a dream."
Dana laughed and pinched her uncle.
"Will I be on your team?"
"Why, of course, my little cyborgian niece. That'd be a bona fide scream. With your connection to the internet and moderately enhanced strength, along with my flying powers and strength beyond all strength, we're the bedrock of this new team."
"So what's the name that you've cobbled?"
"We're going to be the Superhero Alliance Patrol Ensemble."
2. The Academy. Shaw, the Superhero Alliance, was a vast corporate entity, towering offices all over the world working to be the best they could be. They produced superheroes to better the world. Their humanitarian efforts were vast. And David Daniels had worked for them for what seemed like ages that had passed. His superhero moniker was Captain Majestic by name, and he took care of his niece Dana well, supporting her drive to hero fame. RoboGirl is how she was officially known by the people at Shaw, and many teams have tried to recruit her both near and far. But the only way she could join a team is if they took her guardian too. And most people looked down on her eccentric uncle and weren't looking for two. But once David had gotten approval to form his own team, they headed down to the academy to see what might be seen. The best place to recruit heroes was at the academy, and as soon as they walked in those hallowed halls, amazing things they did see. Lasers, flight, and super speed galore, half men and beast hybrids, but oh, so much more in store. Empaths, telepaths, any path you could take, and mancers of fire, water, and sewer grates.
Hot mama! David exclaimed. We hit the jackpot, my girl!
This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in the entire world!
A weedy little man with a clipboard walked up to them and replied,
That's what they all say, Madam Cyborg. Please do jump for joy.
His sarcasm fell like a box of lead bricks. Then he pored over his list.
What are your names and why are you here? I'm sure that you exist, but I'm not seeing any names listed here for recruiting or visiting time.
I am Captain Majestic, David beamed, and your recruits are looking sublime.
The weedy man wrinkled his nose and wiggled his mustache too.
I am afraid you'll have to come back. There's no record here of you.
Captain Majestic paid him no heed, for someone had caught his eye. A young man flying and shooting fire, and a little chick by his side. I'm not being chauvinistic when I say that. I mean a literal chick. He or she was breathing fire and flapping around very quick.
How much to sign those two to my team? They've really got what it takes. Just look at how cool their costumes are and how they fly all over the place.
Released students from the academy cost $15,000 per head.
Hot mama!
David exclaimed, looking at the numbers with dread.
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. You're disrupting an important class.
Come on, Dana. It's time to go. Maybe something better will come to pass.
3. Behemoth Jr.
I'm sorry we didn't get any teammates this time around, Uncle Dave.
I wonder how long it would take if for that fire guy I'd save. Well, the trip doesn't have to be for nothing. I guess I could go upstairs and check out my office and see if there's anything lingering under my desk.
I'll stop off and use the restroom. Then I'll wait for you outside.
That sounds like a capital plan. Just hang around here and sit tight.
David Daniels, or Captain Majestic, trotted to the elevator door. Meanwhile, Dana, Robo Girl, went and did her chore. But when she emerged from the ladies' restroom, something stood in her way. A giant stegosaurus-like thing held her movement at bay. The beast looked young, almost baby-like, though he was 8 feet tall. His cartoonishly green and red scales rubbed up against the walls.
Excuse me,
he said in a deep but juvenile voice.
Is this the place where I go?
I'm not sure what you're looking for.
You know, the place I go.
Repeating the same thing over again really doesn't help much.
What's repeating?
The beast said back.
Are you lost?
She said with a touch.
I'm Behemoth Jr. B is what they call me. I'm supposed to go to a place and be a hero and all I can be. I think that room is where I go.
He nodded to the ladies' room door.
I don't think that's where you're supposed to go.
I don't know. Are you sure?
Behemoth Jr. dived past Dana and wedged himself into the frame of the ladies' room door, and Dana thought this was a game.
Stop it! You're gonna get stuck! What are you thinking, Bee?
Bee began to cry aloud.
This isn't where I'm supposed to be! I'm stuck and now I can't get out!
Don't worry, I can help.
Dana looked into her program menu and selected Tool Belt. 4. The Dragon. Captain Majestic stepped into his office, trying to keep his chin up. He strolled over through the dark room, trying not to cry, and picked up his coffee cup. It said, "Heroes don't take no for an answer." He sighed loudly and flipped on the switch. The lights came on and a sudden sight nearly made him twitch. Fu Wong, the janitor of the building, and once a very powerful man, was emptying out Captain Majestic's monster truck trash can.
Foo! It's you! What are you doing here?
I could ask the same of you, but why are any of us here?
Well, you're emptying trash, I can see that now. But why do it in the dark?
It is only in the dark that we can truly see with our heart.
Captain Majestic paused for a second, contemplating the old man.
Didn't you used to be a hero?
The strongest in my clan.
What made you quit hero work?
I disgraced my job and team. I cannot talk about that dreadful memory. I cannot. Don't make me scream.
Fu inhaled to scream out loud, but David bid him hush.
Would you come back to join my team? Would you join up with us?
No more smelly garbage. No more cleaning floors. Would you give me a place to stay? I'm great at doing chores.
What exactly are your powers? I've heard you're an exceptional man.
You have heard right, Captain, my captain, for I am the dragon.
Fu ripped off his one-piece jumpsuit to reveal a gi underneath. It was wrinkly and didn't smell very good, but David's team was nearly complete.
May I discuss my powers with you over some herbal tea?
I don't mind the tea part, Fu, but I'm completely drug-free.
Fu sighed, deep and long.
Come, I have much to teach you.
Does that mean you're on the team? Hot mama, thank you, Fu!
5. Recruited. The fiery duo, whom David had seen performing feats amazing, were known as Fireman and Hot Chick, and they stood in an echoey stairwell gazing at a lurking figure in the dark who whispered of plans obscene. Anyone who saw the creepy sight would think it had been from a dream. Are you sure there's no other catch? Fireman stood before the man, who seemed sketchy at best. His friend Hotchick was by his side, and he was equally unimpressed with the shady foreign man wearing a hooded trench coat vest.
There will be no other catch to this little agreement. You do exactly what I want you to, then you get your payment. Why is it so hard for your puny brains to understand?
Well, to tell you the truth, this sounds too good to be true, man.
The amount of money you're offering sounds like a smokescreen.
How else do you think I get people to sign up for my little scheme?
Well, we need to do some time to talk. Can you give us a day or two?
The man shivered nervously.
Just see that you do.
He then turned and nearly fell over, tripping all over his clothes.
Why is this stairwell so dark?
Then he left, uncomposed. 6. The Call. David, Fu, Dana, and B sat around a table, grinning happily. They stared at the center of the table at their phone in their tiny office space, which would serve as their home. It was headquartered inside of Building 3 on the 13th floor overlooking the sea. They gloried in it all, growing super excited. Their bated breath grew oppressive as they gleefully invited someone to be their very first call. Then the phone rang, and David nearly threw it at the wall.
Superhero Alliance Patrol Ensemble, how can we help you today?
He listened intently to the caller, everyone else in silent hysterics.
Your kitty is stuck on top of a silo? That sounds simply epic! We'll be over as soon as possible!
He hung up and everyone shouted. Shape had its very first job. Now their team would never be doubted. 7. The Farm. The Superhero Alliance Patrol Ensemble arrived with eager fanfare, each wearing a bright, shiny costume and grinning from ear to ear. Captain Majestic flew through the air, the dragon like a silent ninja crept, and Robo-Girl saddled Behemoth Jr. while holding on tightly to his neck. When they arrived at Mr. Withers' farm, Captain Majestic landed and said,
"No need to worry, Mr. Withers. We will save your kitty and farmstead."
The man laid there against a tree, a straw hat over his face, but something seemed amiss, and its origin the captain couldn't trace.
"Why isn't he responding to me? Do you think he's in trouble too?"
"Maybe those feeding tubes in his arm will give us a better clue."
The dragon took a closer look.
"It appears he is asleep, and some sort of sleeping aid keeps him from making a peep."
"Who would send an old farmer to sleep? And what purpose would they have in such a task?"
Then Behemoth Jr. said his first words of the day.
"Uh-oh."
They all looked up across the field, and a silo opened wide. A puff of smoke and something quick blasted into the skies. But just as it did, a firestorm blew it down to the ground, and the team stared at what they had seen, and this is what they found. The thing that came out of the silo was a giant robot. The thing that blasted it down to the ground were two familiar hotshots. Fireman and Hot Chick pinned the robot down, but a voice echoed from inside the bot.
"You fools can't keep me on the ground.
We decoded your hidden messages. You will not make it to space."
Captain Majestic then yelled,
"What's going on, for kitty's sake?"
That was just enough of a distraction for the robot to fight back. It shot two lasers out of its eyes and escaped the fire attack. It blasted up into deep space as Fireman and Hot Chick descended.
"What's wrong with you guys? Do your brains need to be mended?"
8. Into the sky. Captain Majestic stared, confused, as Fireman began his tirade.
"We faked that call to get your help. We need you all to be brave. That guy who launched that robot, he was a villain that infiltrated Shaw. He stole DNA from the Academy's lab, Hot Chick and I both saw. He's taking DNA up into space to catalyze them with cosmic rays and take all the students' power for himself."
Captain Majestic stared, amazed.
"You dishonestly faked a call?"
"Captain, it's not the time. We have to get to space right now."
"You're right. What's wrong with my mind?"
Captain Majestic grabbed a silo and ripped it out of the ground. Robo-Girl activated welder mode and sealed it all around. They found some air compressors and tanks and an old tractor engine for thrust. The dragon made fuel out of herbal tea and cleaning chemicals for dust. As quick as they could, they piled in, and Behemoth Jr. gave lift. He threw the silo as hard as he could so into space they could drift.
"Wow, y'all did that really fast."
"Thanks, Fire. We try."
And off the silo went to confront the evil villain in the sky. 9. Crash. Through the empty blackness flew, their makeshift silo flew, off to fight whatever this menace in robot-clad armor was up to. They neared their destination fast, and Captain Majestic realized what they had forgotten on their race to the skies. Coming up into view, they saw a space station, and they had forgotten brakes, and so, in humiliation, Captain yelled for everyone to brace themselves tight. They crashed through a wall in the space station and screamed in terrible fright. Air rushed out of the station. Air rushed out of their silo. But soon, some kind of nanobots sealed the station before you could say Milo. Captain Majestic and team jumped out and saw a little man standing by, lifting a vial of rainbow-colored liquid proudly to the sky.
"At last!" the little man yelled. "My greatest work is complete!"
And he chugged the liquid greedily.
"Now I can compete!"
Captain Majestic then realized something he had missed. The man who drank the rainbow liquid was the weedy man with the list. 10. Evil Alistair Anton. The bridge of that station grew suddenly cold. The weedy man threw the beaker. He began to grow in grotesque ways as his screams bellowed like speakers.
Quickly, team! We must work together to stop this abominable shape!
He's used his connection to the Academy to synthesize powers, my sensors indicate.
And so it was true that weedy man, Alistair Anton by name, had been playing dumb this entire time and harvesting powers for his own gain.
You're right, Robo-Jerk. It was all in my plan, and you fell for it.
Step off, man. We're taking you down, crazy powers or not.
Captain Majestic leaned over and whispered his thoughts.
Dana, Fu, and I will be a distraction. See if you can get to his computers.
Then with a loud and raucous,
hi-ya!
The dragon and captain became pursuers. Dana took her opportunity and plugged straight into Anton's mainframe. She found the artificial gravity program and recalibrated its gain. Soon everyone began to float, and Anton's fight raged on. He compensated for the loss of gravity with powers of his own. Hot Chick, the captain, and Fireman flew around, igniting Anton's mustache. The dragon jumped away from the fight and changed his tactic in a flash. He took from his gi an old tea set and sat down to brew a treat. He poured hot water from his thermos and let a tea bomb steep. When the bomb was finished, he tore a piece of his clothes and dipped it in the knockout liquid and threw it to their captain, Bold.
Captain, catch! The dragon bellowed, and the captain did just that. And it nearly knocked him out with the smell, but he kept his wits intact.
The captain flew as fast as he could and shoved the bomb into Anton's maw. The monstrous, overpowered man fell.
It seems sleep was your fatal flaw.
A week after saving the world from the evil Alistair Anton, Captain Majestic and crew received an award to hang their hat on. Junior Superhero of the Week was on a plaque above David's bed.
You know, he shouldn't be considered junior,
was what Dana had said.
I know what you're saying is right, but in time they'll respect our craft.
And the whole team celebrated their victory with hugs and cheers and laughs.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Audio Adventures. If your imagination was fed by this story, I pray that you'll consider supporting these stories at joshuadavidling.com/support or on Cash App, $JoshuaDavidLing. Until next time, keep adventuring.